The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, James reflects back to the 1980 National Affairs Briefing and how the issues addressed then are incredibly similar today.
You commit yourself to the principles of God and demand those parties and politicians align themselves with the eternal values in this book, and America will be forever the greatest nation on this earth.
Renewing America's commitment to the principles of God's Word, next.
I've determined that I'm going to come up here and talk to you. And this is really with Betty's blessings. It's like along with a lot of people, been praying I'd do this. Just come up and talk to you. And I started praying a few minutes ago for this. And my prayer was, God, heal our land. God, heal our nation. Heal the church. And when the request to heal came out, I just had this thought that, yeah, you know, you prayed for Robin, your daughter, to be healed. And, of course, she is in heaven. She's healed. But it wasn't what we asked for. At least not the, it just didn't happen the way it didn't happen the way we thought it would. And so my next thought was, I was talking to you about heal the land, and I know a lot of times we don't get healed, you know, in a country or a situation because we won't let you do what you want to do. We resist, and Robin didn't resist. She was ready like all the family. And then the only thing that gave me a sense of comfort was that, okay, we know we want to help bind up the brokenhearted. We want to help the people that are suffering. Because Jesus he came to bind up the brokenhearted. And boy, do we want to put God's loving arms around a hurting world. And our nation hurts, and people hurt, and the poor hurt, and the middle class is insecure, and we're not gaining. And there's a reason we're not getting well. We're not really heeding God, and we're really looking to another source. But I was still trying to find an answer from God as to, you know, I'm saying, what am I supposed to be hearing from this when we prayed for healing and we didn't see that particular thing happening? The only sense of peace I could get is when you rend your heart, not just go through the motions, but you really care, deeply care. If everyone could understand the importance of that, you'd see the healing come. You know, you weep between the altar and the gates, the posts, the entry, you weep. You rend your heart, not your garments, Joel said, and I'll make up for the years the locusts have eaten. They're all the prosperity and blessing and productivity consumed by foolishness and by an invading army that walks in lockstep, diverse and cruel. And that's what we've got today, consuming all of our productivity. We've got all these strange bedfellows, but they're all putting God aside. Or they pay him some meaningless tribute, but they don't love him and love others. And they try to justify all manner of evil. They call good evil and evil good. We desperately need healing. So it reminded me, as I've said, God, I've watched you do miracles. It reminded me years ago. I mean, I'm in my mid-30s, and Billy Graham called a prayer meeting. And about 8 or 10 of us gathered. I've told you before, Charles Stanley and Adrian Rogers and others that you would know just came together, but it was primarily Billy's heart. He said, we've got 1,000 days of freedom. I've heard God. The Soviet threat is going to take freedom down in the United States and around the world. I stood in Moscow and I heard it. Bill Bright was there too. The two of them asked several of us to come and pray for 2 days. And Bill Bright said, I heard exactly the same thing. And they said, we've got to pray. And they said, we've got to have principled leadership. Not just people who talk religion, but principled leadership that can communicate with conviction what needs to happen. A series of miracles occurred. Billy said, I have to stay in the background and pray. I remember so clearly how Charles Stanley and Adrian Rogers and I and a few others said, we'll lay our lives down to speak truth to this nation. Had a great prayer meeting in Washington in the spring. It was called Washington for Jesus, nearly 1 million people. And God led me to call a meeting called the National Affairs Briefing and invite all the presidential candidates that would be on the scene at that time. Only one said he would come, and none of his advisors wanted him to come. They were 100% against it. I think maybe Jerry Naylor, who was the events coordinator, who took Buddy Holly's place when Buddy Holly and the Crickets, when Buddy Holly died, Jerry came in as the lead singer. I think he wanted him to do it, but Reagan knew God wanted him to do it. So he joined me for what was called the National Affairs Briefing. The media reported that 50 million people were impacted by what happened there, and the whole community of faith and people that love freedom. And I preached. Then Governor Reagan sat and listened, along with the 17,000 other people in Reunion Arena. It was a miracle answer to prayer. Let me tell you what it did. It began a movement of transformation in thinking that saved freedom here in the United States, around the world, and brought down the Soviet threat. Let's look in on that meeting.
One of the most outstanding preachers in our country has preached to over 10 million people. 500,000 people have professed faith in Jesus Christ. The vice president of the Round Table, a man who was greatly responsible for this meeting coming to pass. One of God's great servants in this time. Won't you welcome James Robison?
I really appreciate the fact that I know you are not applauding men tonight. I am convinced that you are applauding the greatest country on the face of this earth, and you want it to remain the greatest country on the face of this earth. I am convinced that it is the greatest country on the face of this earth because of its heritage and its foundation. Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Proverbs 14, 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. There is no possible way that you can separate God from government and have a successful government. God is the ultimate authority. I tire of the constant reference to Christians and to religious people and the term separation of church and state, implying that if you belong to a church or if you claim faith in God and believe in God, you are to have no basic influential part in political activity or policy making. If the righteous, the pro-family, the moral, the biblical, the godly, the hardworking, and the decent individuals in this country stay out of politics, who on this earth does that leave to make the policies under which you and I live and struggle to survive? Neither our founding fathers or Jesus Christ initiated the godless interpretation of separation of church and state as it is presently presented to so many American people. For Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." If we live in unsavory times, and we do, it is because there is a deficiency of the sacred salt that gives flavor to all life on this earth. We must begin to literally penetrate every area of our society. Yes, even the political area. How do you expect the godly, the decent, the moral, those who have not sold out to some special power or special interest group, how do you expect them to get elected if godly people do not support them and vote for them? How can you expect any politician or any political candidate to stand for principle if the people who believe in principle don't even vote and stand behind them? We're the guilty ones. If there is darkness in the land, it is because of a scarcity of light. Jesus said, "Put the light on the lampstand, not under the bushel." I would highly suggest you read the book sometimes. It won't hurt the media. It won't hurt politicians. There is marvelous healing in this book. And it needs to be applied to the cancerous visible sores that embarrass us before the whole world right now. And we had better apply the one cure. If you think our solution is political, you too have been deceived. Don't you commit yourself to some political party or politician. You commit yourself to the principles of God and demand those parties and politicians align themselves with the eternal values in this book, and America will be forever the greatest nation on this earth. I've been told this book doesn't say anything about economics. I want you to know this is the one reliable economics book you can read. It is a historical book. It is a scientific book. It has a vast amount of medical knowledge and wisdom. This is the one book upon which you can rely. I'll tell you one thing. This book will teach you about your economy. And it'll teach you what we're doing will destroy any nation on earth right now. I wonder how long it's going to take the American people to begin to play the suicidal economic game of our current government. Suppose at tax time next year we find ourselves a little short. Why not just take a roll of toilet paper, unroll it, and print up some more money if you're short? That's what they do when they need money. And the money they're printing is as worthless as toilet tissue. Wait a minute. Would you dare to suggest that people print up money that's deflated and worthless? You'll be locked up. What I want to know is, when are we going to get smart and lock up the people that are paying their bills with valueless money by printing it up whenever they need it? Who's going to lock up that unbridled, excessive, uncontrolled federal government? You better believe it. I'm wondering, as one who was a minority, I lived in an area where 10% of the people were white, the rest were blacks and Latin American. I was a minority. I was poor. I was very poor. I didn't need a handout. I needed someone to put a hand out and get involved with me. And before you applaud, I want to address the hypocrisy in this room. You want to know why we've got such a terrible, terrible attitude right now toward the needy in this country, and we've been deceived into believing that the government can spend our way out of debt and pay off the poor? Where are they going to get all that money they're promising now recently, the billions and billions of dollars? Where are they going to get all that money? Who's going to produce it? Don't you know the government doesn't produce anything and was never intended to? It's a protector. It's not a provider, and it's certainly not a producer. It's a confiscator and a consumer and a disburser of your wealth. It produces nothing, and it will function best when it functions least. It is a regulator. It is not a provider, and certainly not a producer. I'd like to know what on earth ever gave the politicians the idea they could run our business. Look what a mess they've made of their business. I wish they'd butt out of our business. You say, what's the answer to the economic problem? I want to tell you, folks, quit criticizing the system, the welfare programs, and get out there in the ditch with people that need help and get dirty with them until you get them out. You got no business applauding until you're willing to get in the ditch with people. Folks, we'd better get back to God. I believe we need to send a message to Washington and send it loud and clear. If this nation is to be great, it won't be one nation under government, and it doesn't say on our coins, one nation under government, and it doesn't say in our pledge, a nation under God or in government we trust or one nation under government. It says one nation under God, in God we trust. I'm convinced unless we trust in God, this nation is finished. I thank God Mr. Reagan was willing to come here tonight, because it took a lot of concern about what you think and a lot of courage for him to walk in here tonight and speak to you. And I want to thank him for coming. May God bless America, because America once again blesses God. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you. And please. Thank you. Thank you. Our two good governors who are here, Dr. Criswell, Reverend Chairman, ladies and gentlemen here on the platform, and you, ladies and gentlemen. You know, a few days ago, I addressed a group in Chicago and received their endorsement for my candidacy. Now, I know this is a nonpartisan gathering, and so I know that you can't endorse me, but I only brought that up because I want you to know that I endorse you and what you are doing.
I want you to know that without any question, history was changed by the power of God, the power of prayer, and Christians taking a stand, coming out from undercover, becoming a light, not only set on a lampstand to affect people around them, but we became, as believers, a shining city. And everything changed right there. We had a Sunday school teacher from our own denomination, Southern Baptist, in the White House. We were not having the principal decisions made to reduce terribly excessive taxation that was crippling us, to stop mutual assured destruction and get rid of the SALT treaty, which I did a nationwide special exposing the danger of that, where military advisors had given me the insight. General Daniel Graham, who joined with Mr. Reagan, was head of the Strategic Defense Initiative for the entire 8 years that Mr. Reagan was president. The Soviet threat was weakened, diminished, and ultimately collapsed. And freedom, as we'd known it, was spared. And it happened. It happened because God's people stood up and said, we've got to get someone who has convictions and principles and will limit the government. We don't need Pharaoh. Never worked, never will. What I preached, and you heard me preaching, is 100% applicable to this moment in the life of our nation. Right now, this moment, I suggested Mr. Reagan open with that sentence. Governor John Connally, who was shot with President Kennedy and wounded when Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, Governor Connally and I were very close in prayer. God did a deep work in his life, and he was running against Reagan for the nomination. And I was able to encourage them to come together, to pull together. And Connally became a great supporter. And we rode together when we picked Reagan up to come to that meeting. And Mr. Connally said, you need to listen to James preach. And he said, I want to. His staff didn't want him to, but he did. And Mr. Connally said, listen to what James says about your open. I said, we are a bipartisan, nonpartisan group. That's where the church is. The church lifts up a standard. The people of God lift up truth and principles and point all people to it, all candidates, all leaders, all voters, all people. We're not an arm of a party. We're standard bearers. And we can and won't endorse. We encourage, we exhort. But I think it'd be wonderful if you like what we're doing and you like the principles that we believe in and the foundation our nation was established on, why don't you open by saying, I know you can't endorse me, but I want you to know I endorse you. He said, I love that. He called me the next day from the ranch in California, said, the greatest open I've ever used in my life. And he said, I've never had a greater night. I've never seen greater hope. America's course was readjusted. We're going to share some of his message on tomorrow's program. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. You could see how excited he was about the truth necessary to set us free personally and keep us free nationally. Now, let me just simply say this to you. Let's be a shining city set on a hill. Let's reveal the love of our God. Let's, as you, our viewers around the world do, we continue to get in the ditch with people and pick them up. We put God's arms around suffering people. We try to rescue the perishing. We try to set people free, restore their lives. That's what we're doing right now in Rescue Life. We are doing everything we can to get young girls and women and children out of the sex slavery that they're captured by. And we've got a group of viewers who love this nation and love freedom, but who are willing to get in the ditch and help people. And I'm asking you to help us right now build a safe house in Cambodia that'll function like the incredible Life Center and House of Destiny in Thailand, and give the money to rescue children and girls. $128 average, that's what it takes. We've got a group of friends who said we so believe in what God wants us to do, that if you'll rescue one girl, we'll double it and we'll rescue two. If you can only give 64, it'll be doubled immediately and we can rescue someone. I'm praying you're going to the phone right now saying, thank God for what we just heard, but we are going to reach out and love these girls and set them free. The same way we want our nation to remain free. We want to give people freedom from that sexual bondage. Would you please dial that number? Help us build that safe house. If you can make a gift of $1,000 or more, please do it. We have some beautiful gifts to give you to help you grow spiritually because we love you and care about you. You don't want to miss the program tomorrow. You want to tell your friends to go online and watch what you just heard because it was not only a message in 1980 that helped save freedom, but it's the message today necessary to save the freedom that we are in the process of losing by an out-of-control, excessive federal government. Let's all stand together. Let's reveal what God really is like. Let's reveal His love and His truth, and let's preach the truth in love. But at the same time, let's demonstrate it. Thank you for your gift. Thank you for your prayers.
Human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And now, a miracle opportunity of a matching grant means your gift of $128 to help rescue a child will be matched to help rescue two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help rescue one child from the horrors of human trafficking. This year, with your help, we also hope to build a safe house in Cambodia where young rescued girls can find safety, loving care, and direction for a new life. The cost of this safe house is $345,000. With your gift, please request My Daily Gift, a beautiful new devotional describing the great love of God who treasures you more than you can imagine. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you'll receive the Side-by-Side Bible, which includes the easy-to-read New International Version and the Amplified Text with its additional words and insights. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 to help establish the safe house in Cambodia. And you may request our 2014 commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I want to tell you, because I so desire to help us correct our course, you make any gift today to help us rescue those precious women and those children. I'll send you the book, the New York Times bestseller, Indivisible, where we touch on every area of concern, and I ask a Catholic philosopher in love with Jesus to join in both the Catholic Ignatius Press and the Evangelical Faith Works printed this book. If you want to know how to pray and why things matter, let me send this to you, or you can go online and get it. Indivisible, Restoring Faith, Family, and Freedom Before It's Too Late. We want to help you have understanding of the times. I love you.
I continue to look to the scriptures today for fulfillment and for guidance.
Ronald Reagan recognized the truth and solutions found in the Bible. Tomorrow, Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.